Hello, my name is Simon. Welcome to Why Is That? A free speech platform where we explore big ideas and the controversies of our time. Hello, beloveds, and welcome back to another episode of Why Is That? A lot of people in stressful situations lose track of what they're meant to do just to look after themselves. Why is that? Well, today I am joined by someone who's used to people coming to him during stressful periods of their life, Father Paul Petitsis, who is another radio host on this channel. Hello, Father Paul.
Hello, Simon. Nice to be with you today.
Little known fact, I got my start on the station on Father Paul's channel, He got me in to do the readings to break up the...
Yeah, it was very helpful. In the North Eggs, don't forget to say that.
Oh, yes. There's a sign on the wall. I think I say that every time, but it said, "You can please tell your audience you can hear all our programs on planetaudio.org.nz. But yeah, I've just finished a very, very hectic last few months, major life changes and that, and it's all been very stressful, which has kind of inspired... You know, the topic of today's show, you know, how do you get through stressful periods?
Wow. It's such a big, when you told me you want to talk about this topic, I said, that's just a huge topic and we could spend many, many days addressing it. But
we've got 25 minutes.
I think probably the first thing anybody should do when they're facing a difficult period is take a deep breath. Don't you think that's a good start?
Oh, a lot of people just hyperventilate, don't they? You know, it's just like one... I've done this myself, you know. I've gone through periods where I've handled stress great, you know, just took it in stride. And other times I just caused myself no end of harm because of, just not doing the basics.
Yeah, sometimes just the simple taking a pause for a moment and taking a deep breath and saying, okay, you know, what exactly is this problem I'm facing, you know? And there's so many problems. Some of them are, you might be facing an interview with the IRD or you might be facing some sort of court proceedings or something. But some things are more internal, you know, something that you're going on, some sort of psychological crisis or a personal crisis. And when I say psychological, I think we can include the ancient Greek meaning, which is having to do with the soul, you know. Sometimes we have now we'd call it a psychic crisis, but anyway, a crisis of the soul. Who am I? Where am I going? And all of those crises, all those stresses, how do we deal with them? Well, again, I think the first step is just to take a deep breath, try and get some perspective around the problem. And then I think the second thing is to try and look at the problem, break it down a little bit. What are the parts of it? Usually every problem has some parts. And sometimes, like the other day, my son was working on a paper, and, you know, he had to write this paper. Well, the paper was huge, you know. How is he going to write the whole paper? But the paper had an introduction. So I said, okay, we'll write the introduction first, you know. So he wrote the introduction. Well, then it becomes a little easier as you look at each part. And that's also a way to deal with stressful situations. Take it apart. Which part of it can you handle? Maybe all of it. You look at the whole thing and you don't think you can handle any of it, but there might be parts of it that you can handle.
Yeah, I can speak a lot about this because, having done a lot of tertiary study, you know, sometimes you just plan to write it off the top of your head and you just, but if you haven't planned out the essay properly, you know, you lose traction, you know, you waste time, and it just causes more stress in the end.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the saying? People don't plan to fail, but they fail to plan.
Very good saying. So having some sort of a logical response is very helpful. You can look at the problem logically, break it down, and say, okay, what can I handle? What can't I? And then, they say, you know, call your lifeline. You know, there's always people that you can turn to who are good at helping you relieve stress, you know? Could be somebody who's always got a quick joke to help you with. You know that if you call them, they're going to tell you something to make you laugh. There's another person who's just, you know, a good ear that no matter how bad it gets, they always seem to sympathize and have patience for you. Whatever that is, if you can find that person who can help, that's a really good way to deal with stress. And, of course, you know, the other simple things like exercise, you know, eating well.
I just kind of want to tell a story. One of those go-to people for me is my best friend. And, you know, a very stressful period. This was, I don't know, about a month ago.
And so we went on a guy's weekend. It was just great, completely de-stressed. And, you know, about an hour from the city coming back, we got hit in the back of the car and I got a concussion. I was out for a week pretty much.
That was the end of the de-stress then.
Oh, well. But, you know, it is important to other people help give you perspective, don't they?
Absolutely. You know, I think we don't talk to older people enough in our society. You know, I don't know when that started. In the 1960s, they said don't trust anybody over 40. I think that was, maybe it wasn't over 30. But now, you know, we've come to full circle, I hope, and we're starting to realize that people who are older oftentimes have experiences, life experiences, that give them some insight to how to deal with the problem that we might be facing.
I've found doing a lot of youth work and dealing with young people, you know, they sit down to try to work it out, which can be good for them, but also they don't ask people with experience that have been there, and sometimes they kind of try to reinvent the wheel.
Absolutely. And that, I even remember as a teenager, you know, teenagers often wanted to just ask another teenager, you know, what they thought of this or that. And, you know, although that can be of some value, it can also lead you down some bad paths if you're asking the wrong person, you know. So it doesn't necessarily get you out of the stressful situation. Sometimes it can make it worse. But I think, you know, don't be afraid to ask someone who might be older and wiser and ask their perspective and hear what they have to say. And I think another thing, you know, depending on the situation, consult an expert, you know. A lot of times we think, I've got a tax problem. Well, talk to a tax attorney, you know, talk to somebody who knows something about that. I've got an immigration issue I don't know what to do with. Talk to someone who's an expert in immigration. I mean, it seems simple enough, that kind of advice, but sometimes we don't think to do that. We just let it, you know, eat at us. And people who are in that field, that's their expertise. They're able to help you with that. And I think the same thing would apply to people who are looking at a spiritual problem. Talk to someone who deals with spiritual problems. I mean, it might be a psychotherapist, but it might be a priest, you know. We do that quite a bit.
This is why you're on the show, because a lot of people come to you for, you know, advice.
They do. And we try, and of course, to help. Most people who are trying to help people who have problems are trying to help the person find within themselves a way to solve the problem. I think, for the most part, gone are the days when you could consult an elder who would just tell you from their divine wisdom, you know, what to do. I mean, there are some people who might still have those gifts. And there certainly are some people who have some form of that gift. But by and large, someone who's trying to help you to get over some difficult situation is going to try and get you to look within yourself and sorting through what you're feeling to find an answer that you can live with and that you can act on.
Because that's a big thing. You know, it touches on things like conscience and that, you know, you've got to live with you, and you, this can be kind of taken to an extreme. I'm thinking the Cole Roger method of, you know, psychology, you know, trying to find the answer within yourself. And now, if people are quite troubled, I mean, he started with, you know, university students who mm-hmm. are from good backgrounds and things like that, but, you know, stable, you know, two parent families, etc. But, you know, today, you know, you have, you know, if it's somebody with from a low socioeconomic background, single mother home or whatever, who haven't been exposed to role models and things like that, you know, like a boy of a single mother and you've got manhood issues, you can't just say, you know, find the answer within you.
No, that's true. And that's where help, you know, talking to an expert or talking to someone who is, you know, older and wiser might give you an insight that you wouldn't have had just looking into your own heart on your own. But I guess what I'm trying to say about that is, once you've heard the advice, the decision of how to deal with what you've heard still comes down to you. You've got to make a decision how to act. You know, one of the most difficult problems that I deal with as a priest is people who have addiction issues. You can present all kinds of information to them. You can sympathize with them. You can get angry at them. You can be so patient that's, you know, unbelievable. But on the other hand, when they hear all that they've heard and when they've encountered all that there is encountering you, if they can't find in themselves something that motivates them to say no to that temptation, there's really not anything you can do. I mean, that has to fall on them, you know. And that's a very extreme kind of a situation, but it does exist, you know.
Yeah, because you're responsible for you. Because some people fall into the trap during very stressful periods of their life. They want somebody to save them. Mm. Where, you know, you've got to be strong enough to, you know, be able to weather the storm, pretty much.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And the thing is, if once you do that, I mean, it's with all these helps. We're not saying, you know, you got to, you know, just man up or something. We're saying, you know, you talk to someone who can help you. You've got the friend. You've got the joker who's going to help you. You've got all whatever support system you can do. You're doing the exercise. You're eating right. You're taking the deep breath. But at the end, when you find it within yourself to do the right thing or to find the way out of that difficult situation, then you feel tremendous relief. You think, well, wow, I was able to do this. Now, for me, I mean, when I deal with difficult situations, I often, as a first course of action, turn to God. You know, I know not everybody among your listeners might be people who believe in God, but I've found in my own life that turning to God is a very great way to start, you know, when you're facing difficult situations, because God gives me the sense to think of these other things as well, you know. God isn't just the magic man who comes to save me from difficult situations, but he gave me a mind, he gave me logic, he gave me reason, he gave me friends, he gave me possibilities. So there's ways to solve a problem that God can lead you to, you know.
Well, we've talked about before on the show the importance of studying philosophy, and logic can, you know, when you sit down and analyze the problem, if you've studied logic, that can help towards no end. But it's one of these things people take for granted, you know, that they haven't studied it, but they believe they have it, mm-hmm. you know. Yes. It's just like trying to run a marathon without, having trained for it.
Well, you know, you gave a good example there. Think about those people who swim the long distances. You know, they've obviously done the training, but they generally have a support team. You know, they've got some boat that's following them, you know, with sports drinks, you know, on board, so that they can do this thing. And I think that, you know, if we think that we're going to face every difficult situation just by, you know, manning up or, you know, just get tough and face through it, I don't think we're being realistic. I mean, most, even great athletes don't think that way. They think, well, I need a support staff that's going to get me through.
Because there's a whole field of sports psychology.
Absolutely. And sports medicine. I mean, think all those great athletes that we see on TV. They don't have whole teams of people who are there to, you know, one guy's just, his job is maybe to massage the calf muscle, let's say. You know, another guy works on the shoulders. But you know, they have people who know what they're doing, so they can be at their best, you know. And we shouldn't be afraid to utilize the expertise and the strength of other people in getting over difficult situations.
And usually, you know, people, this particular topic, they look into what to do during stressful periods, that they never train, because life will throw everything at you at once, randomly. You know, it's important to be prepared. It's when it's plain sailing.
That's a very good point. I think my experience, I have a wise elder that got, you know, often I consult and I have difficult situations. And what I've learned from him is that he tries to live every day in peace. In other words, that's his training. His training is to be at peace with everything and everyone. So when difficult situations come, it's just one more challenge that he's somehow already faced in his own heart, and that makes it, you know, somehow doable that he can work through that and confront it and come out still a positive person and a hopeful person and a realistic person, you know.
Yes, it's going back to the weather the storm type, yes. You know, metaphor. Yeah. You know, it's important to be surrounded by good people, because there are a lot of people who are there during plain sailing. And what's the term? Fair weather friends.
But another sailing image.
Yeah. But, you know, of course, when a storm hits, they're gone. They're looking after themselves. Mm. But if you don't prepare for troubled times, you're kind of being a fair weather friend to yourself. You know, yeah, yeah. You know, why aren't you looking after you all the time?
You know, I think that what you said is so helpful. You know, we need to do things that protect, to preserve ourselves, to protect ourselves from stress. You know, exercise is one of those things. But also to understand that as human beings, we're connected to everyone around us and in some level to all of creation. So we shouldn't be surprised that those things that are around us are a help or are intended to be a help. Whoever thinks that human being is just some creature that exists in a complete isolation from every other human being doesn't understand even simple basic biology. I mean, that's just not how human beings come into existence. We're born by a mixture of human beings. So we have the deepest level, we have a connection to others. And of course, that's just what the strength of community is. I know sometimes we turn to become isolated because we find that the problems of our life are also caused by others. But that doesn't have to be the case, you know. You know, we do have to make a choice. Is the other going to be my heaven or is the other my hell? And I think when we learn to love the other person, and it also helps us to learn to love ourselves. And that's a good way to have a healthy relationship with other people, to get us out of difficult situations and to help us work through difficult and challenging times.
Because there are a lot of people who want to look after their loved ones, but they don't really look after themselves. So, you know, part of, you know, looking after yourself, preparing for bad times, because you might have a bad time at the same time as a loved one and you can't help them, but you could have if you were prepared.
Well, that's a very, very good insight. One other thing that often happens in the families is that there'll be someone who is, you know, the whole family is facing a difficult crisis, and that one person kind of rises to the occasion. He meets everybody's needs, he helps everybody get through it, and then they collapse afterwards. And, you know, we're trained in training in seminary to look out for that person because that person needs support. You know, they don't look like they need support because they're the one helping everybody. But when it's all said and done, they're going to need more support than anybody. So we have to reach out to that person and keep an eye out for them.
Yeah. Yes. And also, you know, preparing for stressful times. Look into doomsday prepping. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, I thought about that. You know, how many people have store all kinds of food in their bunkers and so forth. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, I suppose, but it can give you a false sense of security, too. I mean, it depends. We have to kind of restrict our mind. We can think about all kinds of negative things in this world, and not that they don't exist, but we have to train our mind to focus on positive things. And that's a big way to deal with stress. Focus on positive. Whatever positive you can think of that day, focus on that. And especially people who deal with depression, find one possible thing that you can be positive about today and hold on to that. And we would say in the Christian church, be thankful for it. You know, acknowledge that something good happened today. And ask God, you know, or say to God, thank you. That's a very helpful way to... If we just focus on the negative, it somehow is a way of spiraling, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like the two-dog metaphor. You know, the one you feed is going to win. So who are you going to feed, the positive one or the negative one?
Yes. I think that's an American Indian parable of some sort. Have you ever heard that before?
I don't know. I just heard it generally around.
Yeah. I have a dear friend who's a monastic, and he loves that quote, you know. The dog that you feed is the one that's going to win.
And also, a lot of people live in the imagination. They you know, they're thinking so much what may happen, you know, that they're not focused on the reality, what's actually happening.
Mm. And then, you know, we do live in an age of, I'm sorry to even use the term on your show, false news. So we don't always know what is reality. I mean, we think, oh, well, definitely reality is what I see with my own eyes. Well, did you see it with your own eyes, or did you see somebody else's video version of that, you know, thing that happened? because it's so hard to know, you know.
We've actually had like several shows on fake news.
I mean, Donald Trump would probably say, well, yeah, how many people were at the inauguration, you know, just to make a little joke. But anyway, I think we have to consider that reality isn't just what we see. There's a deeper reality, and sometimes we can perceive that with our heart. And so not being obsessed with the obvious, you know, challenges of the world, there are so many, but we also have to see the deeper reality, that there's this inherent goodness that's out in the world, and that's why the world works at all. And there is goodness even in evil people, and even in people who hurt us. And somehow, if we find the goodness in ourselves and we can help them to find the goodness in themselves, it's a way to kind of de-stress the whole world. You know, you were talking about how to de-stress our own personal situation, but if we're going to look at big things, you know, where you need bunkers, find a way to de-stress the world. That's find good in everyone. You know?
Well, this is why, you know, they talk about trying to turn enemies into friends, because, you know, a world full of enemies is very stressful. A world full of friends, not so much.
Yeah, there you go. That's a beautiful thing.
Well, it, you know, depends. Sometimes your friends can be stressful, but I mean, a lot of people have that mindset, oh my God, my friends are driving me crazy, never thinking of when they've probably driven their friends crazy.
Absolutely. We you know, there's this prayer in our church that we read during Lent. It says, help me to see my own sins and not to judge my brother, you know, because it's so easy to judge the other, but it's a little harder to see where we make mistakes, where we hurt somebody, or we, you know, aren't consistent even in our own beliefs, you know.
I've been recently looking into, you might be surprised by this, looking into getting back into martial arts, and I'm looking at Systema.
I've heard of Systema.
Yeah, it's a Russian Orthodox, Russian martial art.
Yes.
And very big on knowing thyself, being, you know, mentally prepared, physically fit, dealing with spiritual aspects within yourself.
I've seen videos because, you know, I do have a young son, and the system is quite amazing from what I can see on the videos. Again, what can you believe? But they show all kinds of amazing talents and the skills. Using simple techniques.
What I find amazing about it is there's no, like, system of masters. You know, like a lot of martial arts, I've studied karate and judo, and, you know, the black belts and that, and system, yeah. It's like we don't have any of that, because that can lead to a false sense of, I've got nothing else left to learn, where there's always something more left to learn.
Wow.
You see a lot of people get proud, you know, they've achieved, and they sort of rest on their laurels,
yeah,
and they think this is it, you know, this is, and they can get depressed because of that.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think probably the reason for the orders is just to make the person who's starting out to be a little bit humble, because sometimes when you're starting out, you have this thought, oh, I know how to do everything, you know, but then you just one round with a black belt, and you quickly find out you don't know anything.
Well, I had this with, before I mentioned with my friend in our car crash, the boot came up and we had to tie it. And he ended up tying it, but he said, I thought I knew how to tie knots, but apparently it's not so easy. Of course, he had basic knots, but yeah. You get why these sailors have all these, you know, special knot type things for different situations. And I said, yeah, tying knots and fighting are like, people think they know how to do it naturally, but no, it does require a lot of training to know what you're doing.
Yeah, and again, this comes back to your issue of, you know, how to deal with stressful situations. You'd be surprised, the older person or the mentor or the one who's the, I don't know what they call them, but the master, let's say, in martial arts, they have learned things the hard way, many of them, you know. Their car got smashed in the back at some point, and they had to figure out how to tie the knot, you know. Or they were on the boat, and the sail came loose, and they had to figure out a way to tie it. So, you know, that's a wonderful thing when you can learn from the experience of other people and be blessed by their, you know, they've learned from sorrow and difficulty, and they want to share with you something so that you don't have to go through the same difficulty, you know.
Yeah, I think humility learning, you know, understanding there's always more to learn in your limitations. Because, yeah, the world kind of tells you, you know, you're fantastic, you know. You know, like people sort of like social media and how they talk about narcissism and photos and, you know, somebody was talking about how a friend of his, she went on this holiday to Thailand. She had a horrible time, but all the, you know, selfies, you know, like, oh, fantastic, you know.
That's funny.
But, yeah, you know, understanding, well, there's always more to learn, and not to put up fake fronts, you know.
You know, somehow when you bring up this topic, I think of people who also kind of come to the point where they think there is no solution. And that's what you're saying there, you know, about the fake fronts and so forth. It's helpful to remember when you're in these kind of situations where you think there's no hope, to remember that that's because your vision is so small. You can only see this little part of the problem. And that's a little bit of humility, really, that says, look, I don't know the full problem. You know, there might be more to it than I can see. So let me talk to someone, you know, someone else about what I'm feeling, what I'm going through. And oftentimes that other bit of perspective is like a lease on life, to be honest with you. It can save a life.
Mm. So, to get Shakespearean, what was there? And there's more in heaven and earth than is in your philosophy.
Wow.
But, it's important to have hope. You know, as we're talking about, you know, staying positive, because a lot of people just stress and can't see a way out of it. And you hear stories about people who've committed suicide or thought about committing suicide, and, you know, it's like, it actually wasn't that bad, you know, the situation. Yeah, there was, I was just so focused. Mm-hmm. It's all I could see. But, I mean, one of the people I'm thinking of is quite a successful businessman, and he's, he's like, it was a really bad time, but I pulled out of it, but I almost decided to kill myself in that time, you know? So, we've got a couple of minutes left. So, yeah, big things to rehash. Eat right. Be, you know, work out, you know. You work with nature, you know. Work with, if you're shoving artificial stuff into your veins and not working out like we're meant to, you're not going to have the best human experience, shall we say.
And take a time to pause, you know, before you start to try and deal with the stress. Take a deep breath, try and figure out, you know, what are the parts of the problem that I can address, if I can analyze it a little bit. And then don't be afraid to call on somebody who can help. You know, it might be a expert in a particular field, it might just be a friend who makes you laugh and gets you over it, but, you know, break this situation down and be part of the solution. Make yourself part of the solution of getting better.
Yep. Daily meditation, you know, and self-reflection, you know, it's important to, you know, take that time out. And of course, the show always pushes green time, not screen time. Well, you can spend time there. Get out in nature, you know.
I like that, green time, not screen time. Beautiful.
We all kind of know this already, but we just don't live it out, and we always find excuses not to. But, yeah, if you just discipline, that's also another thing, you know. Like the whole people don't plan to fail, they fail to plan, you know. It's like, lay out what you're meant to be doing and do it, even when you don't feel like doing it.
Absolutely.
Do it.
You know, you're reminding me, I grew up in Ohio in the United States, and they used to, every so often we have these brownouts, who'd run out of electricity, or I don't know exactly what caused it, but there would be no electricity, and the whole neighborhood would be without electricity in parts of the state. And they always would say, well, you know what, we actually like these times, because we'd get out on our porches and we'd talk to our neighbors. And, you know, like you said, there's the things that we could do to de-stress, that we know what the right things to do are, but, you know, we should do them.
Okay, we have to wrap it up there. So, yes, there's some sound advice. Look into Systema and maybe doing a first aid course. Thank you very much, Father Paul, for joining us.
Thank you. It was great, Simon. I appreciate it. All the best to you.